Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. There's the school bell, and we're in the midst of a study of Jesus and Nicodemus. And we're looking at the text from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And we'll read up to verse 6, where we have come to in just a moment. And so you may want to be getting your Bible and turning to John chapter 3. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're looking at an old Sunday school lesson that was written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of January the 17th, 1926. Now let's read from our text, John 3, 1 through 17, but I'm going to go down to verse 6, and then we'll continue with Elam's notes. Now there was a man of the Pharisees, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came unto him by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now here's verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Coming now to Elam's notes. Verse 6. In this verse, and without stopping, Christ informs Nicodemus that he is speaking not of fleshly, but of a spiritual birth. One is born of the Spirit in the natural birth, but the spiritual birth has to do not with the physical nature, but with the heart. One's spirit, not one's body, is born again. One's physical constitution remains the same, but there is wrought in one's heart, in one's spiritual nature, so great a change from love of sin to hatred of sin, from love of Satan to love of God, from disobedience to God to loving and delightful obedience to Him, that it is called a new birth. This is necessary from the nature of the case, and it should not have astonished Nicodemus. Jesus said, Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born anew. And then Jesus said this, The wind bloweth where it will, and thou hearest the voice thereof, but knowest not whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now notice it doesn't say there, so is the new birth. It says, so is the one born. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. In this verse, Jesus shows that it is not a visible, physical birth, but an invisible, spiritual one. As the wind blows and we hear it and know it exists, although we cannot see or tell from which it comes or whither it goes, so is the one born, everyone. Born of the Spirit. It is a reality that takes place, although not a visible physical affair as the natural birth or birth of the flesh. It is the spirit of man that is not seen and not the body that is seen. The heart that is not seen, not the physical structure, but the heart of the mind, of the spirit that is changed. And that's why the invisible part of this is compared to the invisible wind. But suppose Christ is explaining here how the Spirit of God operates on the hearts of men. It must be remembered that the comparison is not between the effects of the wind, such as feeling it, and the effects of the Spirit, but between hearing the one and hearing the other. People must hear the Spirit. The word pneuma, translated wind, is, in the last part of this verse, translated spirit, and also in every other place where it occurs in the New Testament. In this very place, as in the margin of the American Standard Version that we use in these lessons, it is also translated spirit. Then the verse would read, "The Spirit breatheth where it will," or where it pleases. "And thou hearest the voice thereof, but knowing not whence it cometh and whither it goeth." So if every one that is born of the Spirit, the sound of the Spirit makes its voice to be heard. One hears the Spirit speak, and he speaks through the apostles. They spoke in Acts 2 and verse 4 as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit speaks to us today through the Word of God. The Word of God is the incorruptible seed by which one is begotten again, 1 Peter 1:23, and by which one is quickened, Psalm 119 and verse 50. The word quickened being means made alive, and by which one is brought forth, James 1 and verse 18. The Word of God is a spiritual seed, and by it God begets spiritual children. Through it the sinner is warned and aroused, and his heart is warmed and broken, and its secrets are laid bare. Again, John 5 and verse 1. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God." And Romans 10 and verse 17, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God." And John, 1 John chapter 4, 7 and 8, "To love God is to be begotten of Him." And 1 John 3 and verse 20, "To do righteousness is to be begotten of God." These are not different births, but one birth. One hears the gospel, believes it, loves God because God first loved him, and does righteousness, and is thus born of God. So when one hears the voice of the Spirit through inspired men preaching the incorruptible seed, which is the gospel, and receives that seed into the heart and obeys it, one is born of the Spirit, is born of water and of the Spirit, because the Spirit leads that one by faith in Jesus to repent and be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2, 37 and 38. The gospel was preached to Onesimus in Philemon verse 10 and to the Corinthians by Paul in 1 Corinthians 4, 15. So Paul is called their father in the gospel. They were born again. The Corinthians, having heard and believed, were baptized, Acts 18 and verse 8. All the children of God have been born of God, are born again. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ," Galatians 3, 26 and 27. These are God's children, hence have been born of Him. But this birth was through faith, which led to repentance and baptism into Christ. Then, where is the mystery about the new birth? We read in verses 10 through 9 and 10 of John chapter 3. "Jesus answered and said unto them, Art thou the teacher of Israel, and understandest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we know, and bear witness of that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." I'm going to go ahead and read verse 12. If I told you earthly things and ye believe them not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? Well, Nicodemus wondered. Jesus asked him, as a teacher of Israel, did he not know these? He ought to have known them. Nicodemus and his associates did not receive this testimony of Jesus and his disciples. Earthly things are the things belonging to the kingdom on earth. Heavenly things are things of the everlasting kingdom of God and of eternal glory. We read in John 3 and verse 13, "And no one hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended out of heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven." Heaven is Christ's home. He existed in the beginning long before he appeared on earth. He came down from heaven to tell of heavenly things. He who was with God knows. To hear him is the only way to be saved. Romans 10, verses 6 through 11. And now we read about the brazen serpent. Let me read that to you. Still in John chapter 3, now verses 14 through 17. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth may in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him." We read that story of this brazen serpent in the book of Numbers, chapter 21. Great numbers of the Israelites were bitten by the fiery serpents in the wilderness, and not a few died. The bite was incurable. If God did not heal them, they must die. He directed Moses to make a serpent of brass and to put it on a pole in the camp, and promised that whoever, when bitten by the deadly serpent, would look into the serpent of brass should live. The look was an act of faith. Christ was lifted up on the cross that whosoever believeth in him should be saved. To believe in him is to trust and obey him. This faith must be expressed in whatever act of obedience now God requires, as the faith of the Israelites was expressed then in a look. All who refuse to look refuse salvation from the poison of the serpent. God requires now all who believe in Jesus and have repented of their sins to show their faith in the burial and resurrection of Christ by being baptized. In 2 Kings 18:4, we learn what became of this brazen serpent. It had to be destroyed because people were trying to worship it. And then that famous verse, it's the verse, one of the most quoted verses of the Bible, John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This verse declares the great love of God manifested in the gift of his Son for the world under the condemnation of sin. It sets forth, 1, what God has done to save the world, 2, what Jesus has done to save the world, and 3, what the world must do to be saved. God so loved the world as to give his Son. The Son so loved the world as to come and die. And all must believe in Christ with the faith which works through love, Galatians 5 and verse 6. And which is made perfect through obedience, James 2, 14 through 26. God did not send his Son to condemn, but to save the world. And God does not hate, but loves the world, and sent his Son to save the world. Jesus did not come to hunt up all the sins of the world, to sum them all up and to prosecute and condemn the world. He knew the world was condemned already. He came to call sinners to repentance and to seek and to save the lost. We'll continue this in our next class.